The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Joining me in our studio here, right in the middle of Boston, right in the middle of downtown, at the top of Boston Common, is Colm O'Brien, the musician, Tom Cahill, who's the owner of the Chieftain Pub, and Robbie Croft, a painter and GDA for Boston GAA. You're all very, very welcome, folks, and thanks a million. I was asking, I was talking to you before the we came back there from the ad break, and we have a kind of nice gap in time in terms of your arrivals, exactly 10 years. So, Tom, you got here in?
89.
Colm in?
99.
Robbie in?
09.
That's it. We couldn't find anyone 29 or 79. But anyway, listen, that'll have to do. So listen, that's a nice round number. Tom, we might start with you then, given you're here the longest. How did you come to Boston? What brought you here?
We initially came for a holiday. We had a bar in Dungarvan called the Welcome Inn. So we sold that and we decided to go on a holiday. And Mary wanted to go to Australia. I wanted to go to Boston, so we said we'd try Boston first, and then we might go to Australia. But we came here, we enjoyed it here, and after five years here, we decided to invest in another bar, which meant that we're still here, and we still have the bar. So that turned out pretty well. It went well. We retired 8 years ago, and my two daughters took it over, so it's going from strength to strength and still going well.
This is a long stopover now on the way to Australia.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my
Mary's
wife...
Mary's here in the room in the corner.
Mary never got to Australia.
Still waiting.
And the next thing I'll be looking for is a stick, so I don't think I'm going to Australia.
So would you call Boston home now, Tom?
Well, it's home away from home, if you know what I mean. Ireland will always be home. It can never be otherwise, because it's the great... I just came back, and it's the greatest place in the world. Mm. And there's a lot of good things about America as well, of course. But home, we look forward to going home. I have two daughters and six grandkids here. So that will always be an attraction in itself.
Yeah. The ease with which you can travel home now probably makes
Correct.
A difference as well. It makes
yes.
it easier, doesn't it, to settle down?
It's very easy, yeah. It's no distance away.
Yeah.
You know, one time it was the American Wake. That's not that long ago.
No.
But now it's so easy.
Yeah, I know. You're not going to make a habit of popping home for weekends, but if there was something on, if there was a funeral unexpected, if there was something you need to go, you could go for a weekend is the point. Like, you can go home, get something done,
you can.
Come back. It makes
you
a big
can.
Difference.
My daughter, Lynn, went over with Mary for a disco one time.
It's a long way to go for a disco.
But she did. It was a party, a birthday party. But, I went over in... the year Kilkenny beat Clare, which was 2002, and I cried in Croke Park.
And with tears of joy as a Waterford man.
Well, as a Kilkenny man. I'm a Waterford man. I'm a Waterford man second. I didn't tell you that.
Ah, great.
No, that's my adopted county. In
well, listen, you can fly home then for Kilkenny play Antrim on Sunday over in Nolan Park in the first round of the league. They're very upset in Waterford. I think they're playing a home game as well against Cork, and they expect more Cork fans at it.
That's true. Yeah.
A bad sign. Listen, Colm, you were nodding along there actually when I talked about how easy it is to get back to Ireland now, maybe compared to years ago. So you're here since 99.
Yeah.
What brought you over?
To play music. Simple as that.
Came in a band or on your own?
I was part of a 5-piece rock band called Fatal Flower. And we felt that back at home we were fairly banging our head against a brick wall. You know, we were finding it, you know, particularly in Dublin, it was hard to get gigs. Unless you were in with certain agents, you didn't work, you know, as simple as that. So we decided we'd probably want to start looking afield. And we started going to England, to Liverpool particularly, at first. And then we played the Cavern Club. And then we got invited back a couple of times to play there. And that's when sort of the penny started dropping. Okay, we think we're good enough. We'll make the jump.
Yeah.
So we decided on Boston as opposed to New York, because we figured that Boston being a smaller city, being in a smaller pool, might benefit us. You know, I mean, rather than getting lost in New York. And you know, the usual thing with bands, you come over with all the dreams in the world, and then 3 months later, the band is broken up. You know?
Oh, God.
But it's different because some people, homesickness is a big thing for them. You know what I mean? And so when you've got that amount of people, there was, what, 8 of us living in the one house. And so you're going to get your inevitable conflicts that arise.
Yes.
So so we arrived here the 3rd of November, and by January, the band was pretty much dissolved. And was 3 of us left. And we stuck together. We started going back to ballads. I'd been singing ballads since I was a small child. So we started going back to that, and we found that we could get work fairly easily. And then hooked up with another band that were over here that were looking for musicians that had a tour booked. A band called Hiding Fair. We hooked up with them and we toured up and down the East Coast here. And things started to snowball from there, you know.
Here is home for you then, is it?
Again, like, I would echo what Tom said, you know. Yeah. I mean? And again, because now it's so easy to get home to Dublin. Dublin will always be home, end of story. Yeah. But it is my home away from home here. I have family here.
It's funny, you both mentioned, like, because the kids and grandkids here as well. And I remember, Tom, I remember... Terry Wogan was being interviewed a few years ago, and he was talking about where he considers home, and he said almost the exact same things you were saying. Like, it'll always be Ireland, will always be home, but he said, really, when you've got a family, when you've got kids and grandkids, he says that kind of becomes home. You know, when you're away from them, even if you're back in Ireland, you still consider yourself away from home when your kids and you know, that's where the base is.
Well, when I got my wife over here, she was she's from Wexford. And you know,
he came all the way here to meet.
I know.
From
well, it's a typical immigrant thing. You know, you travel 3,000 miles to meet somebody that lived 30 miles down.
You could have just gone the N11.
I know. Yeah. You know.
Too complicated.
Yeah. I'm reaching Cortown. You know. Yeah. But so we, you know, again, we had the plans as well that, you know, we'll move home, and then we had a child, and then once that happens, everything changes.
Yeah.
You know, because now you've only got a small window where you can go home, because we figured that, you know, by the time he's 8 or 9 or 10, to take him out of the school system here and put him into the school system back at home might be way too traumatic for him. So now we say, okay, well, when he's done with high school, then we might think about it again. But then it's too late.
Yeah, you know? It's true.
Then you got the mortgage, you got the whole.
It's funny, isn't it? So many people of kind of my peer group are dealing with that now in Australia. You know, they went out, say, after the crash. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of settle down, they have kids, and their kids now kind of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're kind of thinking, this is the point now. We say, you know, if you want to bring them home, now is the time to do it. Wait any longer. And they really kind of become their own people over there and set down roots. So listen, Robbie, you came out then 10 years after Cullum. You were here since 2009. What brought you out?
Same, came out for the weekend.
exactly,
football match. And 10, 11 years later, still here. Just, it was one of them things. When I came over here to play, I kind of knew instantly when I landed here that I was never leaving.
Really?
Yeah.
That quick?
It was just, everything was better. The sun, the crack, the banter. Just, and I know it was the summertime, and somebody had said to me, they said, just hold on, get through the winter first to see how you feel, you know, because it's gone from one extreme to the other. But I kind of had a fair idea within a week that I was going to stay.
Yeah.
And I've been here ever since.
And were there things in the early days, you know, when Cullum talks about some of the bandmates, you know, feeling more homesick than others, were there things you missed about home, or did you kind of, were you someone who just absolutely embraced the experience?
No, I mean, at that stage, before I came over here, county football was a big thing for me. GAA, family, it was all, everything was there. I kind of just had made the decision. I said, look, it's a big step, you know, you got to make the right move if you're going to do it. And I just went with it, you know, I jumped on the wave, you know, and as you say there, 1 week led to a month led to a year. Before you know it then, I met a girl from Cork.
Oh, yeah.
another Irish. And then we had a family. And just as he said there, it's like, you know, do I move him out of school? It gets to the stage where you got to keep going, and you know, now he's in school, he's all set. But now bringing him home, now Shay loves home, but this is kind of home for us now because we have a young family and stuff.
Yeah.
Dublin and Ireland will always be in my heart, but you know, you got to look at the bigger picture. It's a lot better to be here. It's easier living. You know, it's comfortable.
But you still have that connection with home, I guess, through Gaelic Games. So I mentioned you've an official role here with Boston GAA.
Yeah.
So what does that entail?
So obviously I just report back to Croke Park. You know, I'm a guy on the ground for them in the USGAA at the northeast side for GAA Gaelic and hurling. I've just recently got this role and super excited, you know, to take it up. And part of my job is to make sure that the kids are learning and playing football to the best of their ability. And, you know, the adult section of football, that runs itself, you know. But it's, yeah, just about going home and being able to bring Shay home to Croke Park and show him, say, hey, look, son, this is where I work. This is who I work for, you know what I mean? It just gives him some sort of...
And have you many kids, say like Shay, who's kind of a local, as it were, have you many like that playing now, underage, or even at adults? You know, kind of not people who've come from Ireland, but maybe kids of Irish people like yourself or grandkids.
Yeah, so basically a lot of the kids...
People who are Bostonian,
Irish,
basically.
Irish-American, their parents would have emigrated over here, and they're obviously, they live here and they play, and they're pushed in through their parents. So there's a lot of them. There may be two or three that are brought over when they're six or seven, but most of the kids that are here are...
Do you ever have anyone who just turns up absolutely on spec out of the blue, no connection to Ireland?
Yeah, just... So one of my jobs is to go into the schools and promote the GAA and say, come on down. And we have a lot of lads that have come down. Some kids just like the violenceness of GAA, you know.
Yeah.
I find that... So
it's an outlet.
Since Shay started playing hockey, a lot of his team come down because the stick is similar to a hockey, which it isn't really. But in their eyes, they just see violence. And that's all kids want to do. And if that's what they want to do, let them embrace it, you know what I mean? So... It's definitely picking up. It's definitely going in the right direction.
And Tom, lots of cities in the States, you know, have a strong Irish-American connection, particularly kind of this part of the States, you know, in the Eastern Seaboard. But Boston probably wears it more on its sleeve than anywhere else. Would that be fair?
Yeah. There's a lot of Irish roots in Boston.
Does that make it easier then for people who move here, do you suspect?
That too, yeah, and there's some great Irish bars here, which helps tremendously as well. And those are the sitting rooms in some cases of the Irish when they come over. They haven't, you know, they have only little small apartments or whatever, but that's where they meet a lot of friends and that's where they hang out.
What does that mean that people here, because of that connection, they have a better sense of what it means to be Irish, or is there still the kind of paddy whackery kind of understanding?
We're slowly moving away from that.
Yeah,
which is, I suppose, the internet should take a part in that. But they still use a lot of leprechaun-y stuff.
Do you know, it's funny. Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, was in earlier, right? And she says Meta have this new AI tool today, and it's not available to people in Ireland, but you can log on here. So I logged in, and I just out of curiosity said, just draw me a picture of an Irish person. It's just all leprechauns.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? That's
you know, it's still there.
It's still there.
You know, and we eat potatoes and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
But
I wonder, like Cillian Murphy and all of that, does that begin to change it a little bit?
Cillian Murphy is one of the best ambassadors we've had in Ireland because he's very honest. And I just thought of him there, something that you said. He's great. He represents Ireland perfectly well. Oh, I know it with the kids. He took his kids back to Ireland when they came of age. He just took his kids back. So he wants them to be educated there. But which is a great education system. The Irish system is a great education system.
Colm, have you seen that change? That kind of... No, maybe not the attitude is the wrong way, but people's understanding of what it means to be Irish.
Yeah, I think so. Like, as Tom said, there's still an element of the paddy wackery around, and it comes out at certain times of the year.
We kind of lean into it a little bit as well when it suits us.
We can turn it to our benefit, so to speak, every now and again. And to put it this way, it helps you get away with an awful lot more than you otherwise would. But there has been a general shift in the way people think about Ireland now, especially over here, is that Ireland is no longer seen really as this poor little backwater, you know what I mean, that's just sending people over here all the time. You know what I mean? The profile of the country has certainly risen, and you know, I mean, people over here are beginning to take that this is a serious little country now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, things are changing, but like everything else, you know what I mean, when it comes to perception, it always takes a long time.
It does.
It takes a couple of generations, really,
for it to finally come out.
We're almost out of time, but listen, Robbie, what a busy time of the year now. Gaelic games over here getting underway.
Yeah,
home,
basically, yeah. So the tomorrow, weathers. The end of Hamill Cup starts in Boston. It's a cup that was named after a lad who died of cancer who played at the Aidan McInnespies. And once that gets going, then it's week to week, it's games. Abusing the referee, the whole lot, you know, the whole shenanigans.
No abusing the referee now, I hope. There'll be none. I'm going home. I'm flying home this evening to get home to an under 10 blitz. So we're all involved in the same things wherever we are in the world.
In itself, right there.
Listen, folks, thanks a million, Ollie, for popping in. It was a great chat. Robbie Croft, who I mentioned, is a GDA with the Boston GA over here. Tom Cal is the owner of the Chieftain Pub, the family running it now post retirement. And Colm O'Brien, a musician. Folks, thank you all again. And thank you to everybody who made our few days here in the States possible.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.